Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All right, it's game day. The boys are in the Thunderdome. Pitt is in Chestnut Hill to face Boston College. And we are here on 93.7 The Fan with the Panthers Insider Show. I'm Chris Peek, joining you as we always do every Saturday morning, 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. for the Panthers Insider Show. Really the only hour of sports talk radio you're going to find that is exclusively dedicated to Pitt. This is the Pitt Sports Talk Hour, and that's what we do. We sit around and talk about Pitt, nothing else, just for an hour. We're not going to talk about NFL postponements or NHL draft or trades or Major League Baseball playoffs or any of that stuff. You get plenty of that talk everywhere else you turn on the radio dial all week long. For an hour, though, we just sit down here and talk about Pitt sports, and that's it. And we got a lot to talk about this week, obviously, with the Panthers coming off a loss to NC State last week, their first defeat of the season. Not an easy one to stomach, and we've certainly got a lot of thoughts on that game. Both sides of the ball brought up a lot of topics for us to discuss. Things that we've seen earlier this season, things that we haven't seen earlier this season, trends that are good and trends that are certainly very bad, though they do not need to continue as they move into this game, their fifth game of the season against Boston College today. That game, as I said, it's on the road. That'll kick off at 4 o'clock, and you'll hear it right here on 93.7 The Fan. With Bill Hillgrove and Pat Bostic and Larry Richard, those guys will be calling the game. And of course, I mean, really, you know, with 93.7 The Fan being the home of the Panthers, you get a lot of Pitt coverage all day long. I mean, you've got the game starting at 4 o'clock. You got post game after that. I think at 2 o'clock, you've got the Pitt pregame show with Larry Richard and Pat Bostic and those guys. I think an hour before that at 1 o'clock, I think you've got Bob Pompeiani and Doran Dickerson and Paul Zeiss getting you ready. It's like the pregame show. Before that, Pompeiani's got a show. And before that, Ron Cook is on. I'm sure those guys will touch on Pitt today. And it all starts right here at 8 a.m. with the Panthers Insider Show. You know, these weeks when they have the noon kickoff, I always feel like, yeah, I mean, you've got like 8 hours of Pitt coverage right here on The Fan, and it kicks off with the Panthers Insider Show. I'm sure Cook and Pompeiani will break up their shows a little bit and talk about a variety of topics, but I mean, really, your Pitt day starts right here. And of course, I'm from PantherLair.com. You should know that website, Panther-Lair.com, Pittsburgh.Rivals.com. It's the most comprehensive source of Pitt sports news on the internet. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, we're at PantherLair.com writing about Pitt, talking about Pitt, talking about football, basketball, recruiting, reporting all of that, providing lots of content and coverage and analysis, and lots of conversations on the PantherLair.com message boards. And we do that, I mean, really 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And then on Saturday mornings, we get together and kind of bring it all, distill it down to just this 1 hour of radio that we get. So it all kind of comes from PantherLair.com. If you enjoy this hour of radio programming, I highly recommend you check out the site, Panther-Lair.com. And it's been a very active week this week, as you might imagine, between content and message board discussions. There's been a lot of traffic on the site, a lot of eyeballs on the site, a lot of people posting on the site wanting to talk about what the heck happened last Saturday against NC State. Pitt goes into that game as a 2-touchdown favorite. And, you know, NC State was certainly one of the games I circled before the season and put into that category of should-win games. You know, if you listen to this show or you listen to my podcast or read things I wrote on PantherLair.com, throughout the offseason, I kind of broke, well, especially after they reorganized this schedule and the ACC came out with the new 2020 schedule for its teams. And I broke down these 10 games that Pitt has against conference opponents. And I said, look, there's the two games at the high end, the top games, the most challenging games, which are Clemson and Notre Dame. And then you have this group of four in the middle that are sort of these toss-up games, you know, Virginia Tech and Louisville at home, and then Miami and Florida State on the road. And back in August, we didn't know what Miami was going to be. We didn't know what Florida State was going to be. But we thought both of those games would be challenging because both of those teams have good athletes, and they'd be played on the road. We didn't know where those teams would go. They've gone in opposite directions now that the season has actually started. But I put those in the category of toss-up games, Virginia Tech, Louisville, Florida State, Miami. Games that I don't think Pitt was, you know, is so inferior that they're going to have to really upset a team, you know, and play at their perfect A game to win, like is probably going to be the case when they play against Clemson and maybe even the case when they play against Notre Dame. But they were going to have to play a really good game in order to win. And then there was the third group of games, the fourth, the final four games where, of Syracuse, Georgia Tech, Boston College, and NC State. And that was largely on the fact that NC State won like four games last year. Dave Doran seems like he's heading downhill, and they didn't have any significant upgrades personnel-wise or, anything like that. So it seemed like NC State should be one of those games Pitt should win. Well, I'm going to be interested to see what we think of NC State when the season ended, because they looked pretty good against Pitt on Saturday. And not all of that was NC State's doing. Pitt made a lot of mistakes. Pitt shot itself in the foot a lot. Pitt gave NC State a lot of yards, 125 yards or so on penalties alone. And we'll talk about that issue because it's a major issue. It just sort of shifted from being an offensive issue to being a defensive issue, but it's still a big freaking issue. But NC State looked good. Devin Leary looked good. I mean, he looked like a very good quarterback who could pick apart a defense if he had the time to do so. And unfortunately for Pitt, and rather uncharacteristically for Pitt, he had the time to do so. And it didn't make a lot of sense to me. I didn't understand why Pitt wasn't able to get a pass rush on Devin Leary really throughout the game. He was only sacked, I think, maybe twice. It wasn't a factor. Not the way it had been. The pass rush was not a factor the way it had been against Syracuse and Louisville, where Pitt was piling up the sacks against those teams. And I've got some thoughts on that and how concerned you should be about that issue with the defense. But, just from the start here, like I say, I'm going to be interested to see what NC State does over the rest of the season and what we think of the Wolfpack when we get to, late November, early December. But as it relates to Pitt specifically, there's always a tendency to react to a loss with a feeling of the world is ending. This team has been exposed. All their bad things are what they're always going to do. They're never going to do good things again, and they might not win another game. And this is natural. And this doesn't just happen with Pitt fans. So what I'm saying is not an attack on Pitt fans. It's exhausting with Pirates fans because they play 160 games, 162 games. It's exhausting to a slightly lesser extent with Penguins fans because they play 81 games. Football, you go week to week, one game a week, you play that game, and then for the other 6 days, and really 6.5 days, because it starts as soon as that game ends, and really before that game too, for the other 6.5 days, all you do is talk about that game. And if you did things really well, you talk about all the things that the team did really well. And if the team did poorly, if the team lost, if the team struggled, you spend all the time that week talking about the issues, talking about the areas where the team struggled. And it starts to feel like they're going to keep making those mistakes and doing those things over and over and again and continue to struggle and never win another game. Now, cooler heads ultimately prevail. And eventually, as the week goes on, people start to be a little more rational about things. But I think Pitt fans are genuinely concerned after that NC State game. And I understand why. Because in that NC State game, it was sort of a combination of your worst fears coming to fruition. Couldn't run the ball. Committed dumb penalties. Defense didn't make the key stops to make up for an offense that had to settle for field goals and struggled in the red zone once again. And I think that concerns Pitt fans for the same reason that some of those issues concerned Pitt fans in the Louisville and Syracuse games. And it's concerning because it's awfully reminiscent of last season. It's awfully reminiscent of the issues that cost Pitt multiple wins in 2019. And this is not a new subject that we're talking about. We talked about it throughout the offseason of what could sink this team and what this team had to avoid in order to be successful. We talked about it all through the summer and all through the spring. And once the season started, and some of those issues were still present against Syracuse and against Louisville, I said on this show, I said on my podcast, you probably said to your friend, if you're a Pitt fan and with half a brain, you probably said, look, they can't get away with this every week. They can't keep blowing it in the red zone and committing stupid penalties and shooting themselves in the foot and get away with it. And that was the case last year, too. They got away with it against Delaware. They got away with it against Georgia Tech. You know, they got away with it against Eastern Michigan. They got away with it against Duke. They got away with it against Syracuse. They escaped all of those games with a win. Wins that were much closer than they ever should have been, but because of Pitt's own mistakes, and not just mistakes in execution, but just, you know, things like penalties and turnovers. Because of Pitt's own mistakes, those games ended up being quite close, and Pitt had to escape, literally escape with wins. And they got away with it in those games, but they didn't get away with it against Miami. They didn't get away with it against Boston College. They damn near didn't get away with it against Eastern Michigan. And here, this season, you started to see the trends again. They got away with it against Syracuse. They got away with it against Louisville. Well, they didn't get away with it against NC State. It jumped up and it bit them right in the behind. And it was a little bit of a different storyline. Still the red zone issues. Still the run game issues. But it wasn't as much about offensive procedure penalties, which was a big thing we talked about, although they did have all the drop passes. Another common refrain. Another time where we're repeating ourselves talking about the issues of this Pitt football team. But they didn't have the offensive procedure penalties. Instead, they got a bunch of defensive pre-snap penalties. 5 offside calls on the first 4 possessions of the game. NC State scored 17 points on those possessions with the offside penalties turning 2nd and 6 into 2nd and 1, 2nd and 2 into 1st and 10, 3rd and 6 into 3rd and 1. You don't have to think too hard to figure out what went wrong in that game. And for all the things that actually went wrong in terms of execution, like the running game or like the defense in the fourth quarter, they still could have gotten away with it if not for the stupid penalties on those first 4 possessions against NC State. And I'm not even talking about pass interference. I'm not talking about defensive holding, face mask. I mean, you should try to avoid doing those things. But you really, really should not take offsides penalties. Don't jump until the ball moves. And that's how they lost. That was where the game was lost. So as I said, we've got a lot to talk about when it comes to this loss to NC State and more relevantly, where Pitt goes moving forward. So don't go anywhere. We got a full hour packed here to talk about this Pitt offense, this Pitt defense, and what needs to happen over the rest of the season, starting today when the Panthers face Boston College at 4 o'clock. So stay tuned. We'll be right back on the Panthers Insider Show, Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Welcome back to the Panthers Insider Show on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Chris Peek, talking a little Pitt sports with you this morning, trying to make sense of that loss to NC State last weekend and also get ready for this game against Boston College here. Later this afternoon, 4 o'clock is the kickoff. You can hear it right here on 93.7 The Fan. If you can't watch the game, you can follow along right here on The Fan. And, you know, I was talking in that opening segment about how, I mean, we've just seen some of these recurring issues, right? That carried over, that seemed to have carried over from last season now to this year. And we saw them in the Syracuse and Louisville games, and Pitt was able to get out of those games with a win. But and then we saw it in the NC State game, and Pitt wasn't able to get out of that game with a win. Pitt lost and eventually caught up to them, like it did against Boston College last year, like it did against Miami last year. That eventually those issues catch up with you when you can't score touchdowns in the red zone. You turn the ball over. You commit dumb penalties. Eventually it catches up to you. Slightly frightening thing, and we're going to talk more about this after the update coming up here in a little bit, or I shouldn't say more frightening or more concerning, but I mean also concerning, is that there were points in that game on Saturday that didn't just look like last year. They looked like 2016, you know, particularly on that last drive. And I think early on when NC State figured out they could do it, you know, that sort of game plan or approach or mindset of we're just going to throw the ball up and we've got a size, you know, mismatch on the outside. And so we're going to throw the ball up and either our guy is going to catch it or we're going to have a decent chance of drawing a pass interference penalty. Now, that probably sounds familiar to you. That's sort of what Virginia Tech did in the 2016 game, the loss to Virginia Tech at Heinz Field. And I feel like that game was sort of the one where it really stood out, where a team really took advantage of Pitt in that way, just throwing fade after fade after fade. And NC State was doing some of that as well. I think that was probably pretty concerning for Pitt fans. But we'll talk more about that defense and maybe why I don't think they were entirely exposed in that game. We'll get into that when we come back after the update here on the Panthers Insider Show, Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Welcome back to the Panthers Insider Show on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Chris Peek here with you from PantherLair.com talking about this loss to NC State and some of the big concerns that came out of that game and some of the things that were really sort of troubling about Pitt's loss to the Wolfpack, aside from it just being the first loss of the season, you know, breaking up the 3-0 start, costing them their first chance, you know, their chance to get in their first 4-0 start since 2000. There was a lot on the line. I mean, this team looked like it could potentially go on a run if they could clean up some of the issues. And unfortunately for Pitt, they didn't clean up some of the issues. Well, they cleaned up some of the issues, and then they had some other issues develop. So, I mean, they didn't take any procedure penalties, which is a step in the right direction. They didn't have any false starts or illegal formations or things like that, which is good. But they replaced them with a slew of defensive calls, a slew of defensive flags. And this was a big, big problem. Now, as we talk about Pitt's defense, giving up 4 touchdown passes to Devin Leary, giving up 2 touchdowns in the fourth quarter, including the go-ahead score, you know, a couple of go-ahead scores, really, as the score, the lead changed a couple times in that fourth quarter. And I think a lot of people came out of that game saying, oh, man, the defense was supposed to be really good. What, do they stink too? What's the problem here? And I think there was some concern about the defense. There probably still is some concern about the defense coming out of that one. I'm not as concerned about it as you might be, or as some people might be, and it's for a few reasons. For starters, and kind of most of all, look, this defense has a pretty good track record. These players, this personnel with this coaching staff, they've got a pretty good track record. Dating back, I mean, to what? Like middle of the 2018 season? I think they were really good last year. Even in the games where they gave up some points, where they weren't really, you know, where maybe you say, oh, they didn't play a great game that day, they made some big plays. You know, UCF, they give up points, but they made some big plays to win the game. Carolina, you know, I mean, the North Carolina game, they end up, it goes to overtime because they gave up 2 touchdowns in the fourth quarter to Sam Howell. But they also made some big plays to make sure they didn't get another touchdown. Or was it 2 touchdowns or was it 1 touchdown and a field goal? I forget. But, I mean, they made some big plays at the end of the game to make sure it went to overtime and didn't turn into a Carolina win. And then they made the stop in the overtime. You know, they came up big. Or a game like Virginia Tech, it's 28-0 blowout. But Virginia Tech had less than 300 yards of offense. They scored a defensive touchdown. Pitt's defense gave up 3 touchdowns in that game. I mean, really, outside of the Eastern Michigan game, I mean, that's the last bad game this defense has played, and really the only bad game this defense played, dating back to, I mean, geez, you go back to the 2018 season, the Duke game was not good. That was, what, 54-45 or something like that. That was a pretty high-scoring affair. There was the Clemson game and the ACC championship game where I think the defense did okay. They held Clemson under their season averages for yards and points. Obviously they gave up a 75-yard touchdown run on the first play of the game. That wasn't very good, but, you know, I think the defense was okay in that game. The Duke game was a bad one, and then you get before that, you know, they got beat up in UCF. They lost to North Carolina pretty bad. But really, since that sort of midpoint of the 2018 season, really since the Duke game, you know, in 2018, you haven't had too many clunkers out of this defense outside of maybe the Clemson game, if you want to count that, and then the Eastern Michigan game and the bowl game last year. One game against NC State is not going to change that overall opinion of this defense. And there are some things to be concerned about. Injuries is a big part of it. They're already without Damari Mathis. They seem to have lost Wendell Davis for who knows how long. He seems to be out indefinitely. So that's two starters you're down. And then in that, oh, and you also don't have Habakkuk Baldonado. So that's a top reserve, maybe their number three defensive end, a guy who I think was really poised for a breakout season this year. He's out. So it's two starters and a top reserve. And then in the game against NC State, Keyshawn Camp leaves during like the first series, and Cam Bright goes out in the first quarter. That's two more starters they're not playing with. And that's a lot of guys to be missing. It really is. And I'm not going to blame it on I'm not going to blame the loss on the injuries. And there were injuries on offense too as well, obviously. I mean, they were playing without A.J. Davis. Still don't have Lucas Kroll. Jordan Addison gets hurt and has to leave the game. You know, I mean, they were banged up on both sides of the ball. I'm not going to blame the loss on injuries, but it's certainly something to be a little concerned about. You know, and you start asking yourself, how many more injuries can they really sustain? How many more injuries can they really absorb and still, you know, have a reasonable chance of success? To me, when I look at the loss to NC State and I look at Pitt's defense, the most concerning thing is those offsides penalties in the first half. I mean, you look at NC State's first drive. Rashad Weaver jumps on a 2nd and 6. It becomes 2nd and 1. They stuff him on 2nd and 1, but they convert a 3rd and 1. And then later, Kalijah Cansey jumps on a 2nd and 5 to make it 1st and 10. And they ultimately score on that drive. So that's one touchdown. NC State's second drive, Cansey jumps again, turns a 2nd and 7 into 2nd and 2. NC State converted that and ultimately got a field goal. And then the third drive, Servassier Dennis jumps, turns 3rd and 6 into 3rd and 1, and that drive leads to a touchdown. Three drives that were kept alive by offsides penalties, and they end up in 17 points. And it wasn't just offsides. I mean, there was a pass interference on the first drive. There was a pass interference and a face mask on the second drive. You know, Pitt did a lot with 7 penalties on the first three drives. And NC State ends up with 17 points as a result of it. That's the difference in the game. In a one-point loss, giving a team two touchdowns on their first three drives, and you commit 4 penalties on those three drives, on those two drives, you know, 2 touchdowns and a field goal on your first three drives, and you on defense committed 7 total penalties, including 4 offsides, you gave them the game right there. Even if your defense gets beat in the fourth quarter, even if your defense gives up some plays in the fourth quarter, that wasn't where the game was lost. Then, I mean, there's something to be said. Yeah, you got to step up when the game is on the line in those crucial, critical situations. You've got to step up and make a play. That's what you're out there to do. And no matter what happened earlier in the game, if you have a chance to make a play to win the game, you've got to do it. And they did. The defense needed to do it on that final drive. They needed to make one more stop on NC State's defense, and they failed to do so. But if they just had their stuff together in the first half, and in the first quarter, and on the first three drives of the game, if they just had their stuff together, if they had a little more discipline, a little more focus, that last drive doesn't matter. Because NC State doesn't get 17 points out of its first three possessions. And it's not a one-point game. It's a Pitt win. Now, I mean, if you want to tell me that, okay, that's just as concerning to you because these lack of discipline issues, these focus issues have dogged this Pitt team throughout the last two seasons. I mean, I'm not going to disagree with you, but I'm also not going to sit here and say I'm panicking over the defense because of that. Now, when we come back, I'll tell you something about the defense that really needs to change, though. Beyond just playing cleaner, they obviously have to play cleaner and clean up those penalties and play with a little more discipline or a little more focus. But there's something else that did concern me a little bit about the defense on that final drive. We'll talk about that and a lot more. We got to talk about the offense. We haven't even gotten into the offense yet. So we got plenty to cover. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back on the Panthers Insider Show on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Welcome back to the Panthers Insider Show on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Chris Pete talking about Pitt football and bounce back from the loss to NC State. And I was talking about defense in the last segment, and I was talking about those penalties and just not playing clean and how they really gave the game away in the first quarter by committing a bunch of offside penalties and pass interference and face masks, but mostly the offside penalties to keep those drives alive and ultimately give NC State 17 points on their first three possessions. And that's where the game was lost, defensively. You know, I mean, we could talk about the offense. We'll talk about the offense after the update here. And we could talk about, you know, only scoring two touchdowns in five red zone trips and not being able to run the ball to save their lives and all that stuff. But, I mean, as far as the defense goes, you know, the game was lost to me in the first quarter. You can talk how you want about that final touchdown drive, and there's certainly something to be said for stepping up and making a play, but the game was lost in the first quarter when they gave 17 points on three drives due to 7 penalties on defense. That's unacceptable. You can't make those kinds of mistakes, particularly the offsides calls. Now, I will say this about the final drive. All right, NC State marches down the field, officially 8 plays. Ultimately, they ran 9 plays, and there was a defensive holding call. It goes down as a no play, but, I mean, the ball was snapped. Everybody ran around, and you know, the play was it was played to completion. So I don't, you know, I think you kind of count it as a snap. Here's the thing, though. So Pitt was in their Delta defensive package for that drive, which is what they like to use on passing downs, third down primarily, but obvious passing situations. And that's great. It's a 3-man defensive line, and you don't know where the pressure's coming from. You know they're going to rush more than 3, but you don't know who's coming. And that's what helps make it really effective, is those guys rush the passer, and they get a lot of sacks out of it. They got 4 sacks out of that package against Louisville a week earlier. The problem is, against NC State on that final drive, 9 plays, they only rushed more than 4 3 times. They didn't try to be aggressive. They didn't try to bring any extra pressure. They tried to rush 4 and drop back and play coverage. And that wasn't good enough. And Devin Leary picked them apart and just bink, 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 right down the field. 18, 20, 25, 15 yard plays. Just going down the field on them. And they allowed that to happen by not trying to bring pressure, by not trying to take the fight to NC State, by not trying to do anything aggressive. It was almost like a prevent defense. I mean, I don't know if it was really happening like that. I don't know if you would really call it a prevent, but they weren't blitzing. And I think they have to be more aggressive than that. I think they usually are more aggressive than that. And I think they need to be going forward. All right, when we come back after the update, we got to flip over to the offensive side of the ball, talk about Kenny Pickett, talk about the run game, talk about this offense continuing to struggle in the red zone. I don't know if we're going to have enough time to get to all of it, but we will try. And when we come back on the Panthers Insider Show, Sports Radio and 93.7 The Fan. Welcome back to the Panthers Insider Show. It's Pitt Game Day right here on 93.7 The Fan. I'm Chris Peek, getting your Pitt Game Day started, right? Panthers at Boston College today, 4 o'clock kickoff. You hear it right here on 93.7 The Fan. There's going to be Pitt talk throughout the day. Ron Cook, then Bob Pompiani, then Bob and Doran Dickerson, Paul Zeiss, then Larry Richard, Pat Bostic with the official pregame show at 2 o'clock. The game kicks off at 4. You can hear it right here on 93.7 The Fan. It's a full day of Pitt talk, and it starts right here with the Panthers Insider Show at 8 o'clock. So it's 8 to 9, I should say, as we're getting close to the end of our hour. But it's fun talking to you about it. Like I say, I'm Chris Peek from PantherLair.com. You should know that website by now if you're a Pitt fan, Panther-Lair.com, Pittsburgh.Rivals.com. I always like to say it's the most comprehensive source of Pitt sports news on the internet, football, basketball, recruiting. You can find it all at PantherLair.com. And, of course, we have message boards where you can interact with hundreds and thousands of your closest Pitt fan friends. Panther-Lair.com. There's conversation going on 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at PantherLair.com, Pittsburgh.Rivals.com. So make sure you check out that website if you enjoy talking about Pitt stuff, listening to Pitt talk, reading about Pitt. That's the place to go, Panther-Lair.com. We talked a lot about Pitt's defense. Got to flip over to the offense real quick to talk about what that group did against NC State and what they need to do going forward. You know, Kenny Pickett obviously was outstanding against NC State. One of the best games he's played as a starter at Pitt. Set a career high for passing yards, 411 yards. Only threw one touchdown. Probably should have had about three. I'd say if DJ Turner doesn't stumble on the one and go out, you know, go down at the one and a 1 or 2 yard line, and then another one he just sort of just barely fell sort of out of bounds at the one. I mean, Kenny Pickett, you know, ended up with a couple rushing touchdowns, but he should have had probably three passing touchdowns to go with his 411 yards or whatever he ended up with, you know, passing. And it's great. I mean, it's great to see Pickett play that way. I think I talked a lot last week prior to the NC State game here on the Panthers Insider Show and also on the Panther Lair podcast that I do midweek. And I wrote about it on PantherLair.com that Pickett needed to have more composure in the pocket. You know what I mean? He needed to have a better pocket presence because all too often, whether the pressure was there or not, Pickett seemed to react as if he was under pressure. You know, the tackles might take a step back. The guards might take a step back, not giving up pressure, but just taking a step back to adjust to try to continue blocking for Pickett. And he would bring the ball down and start shuffling his feet and moving around in the pocket and not looking downfield for receivers to throw to. Well, I didn't see that as much on Saturday. Now, part of it was NC State didn't pressure Pickett as much. They didn't get as much pressure on him. I don't know if future teams are going to make that same mistake and try and only rush three or only rush four. Because I think Kenny Pickett showed on Saturday that if you don't get pressure on him, if you're not in his face, if you don't make him uncomfortable in the pocket, he is good enough to pick apart a defense. He's good enough to find those holes in the zone and take shots downfield. He's got the arm to take shots. And that's what they did against NC State. According to Pro Football Focus, Kenny Pickett had 15 passing attempts of 20 yards or more downfield on Saturday. He had like 7 total in the Syracuse and Louisville games combined. And he had 15 against NC State. They were attacking. They were pushing the ball downfield. They were going vertical. And as I've said before, I think they've got the weapons to do it. Even with Jordan Addison out, they still had DJ Turner going downfield. They still had Taysier Mack who can make plays downfield. They still had Shockey Jacques-Louis who I think can make plays downfield. He's got the speed to create separation to catch passes of more than 3 yards. The problem is teams are going to put more pressure on Pickett because it's pretty clear that's the way to break up this Pitt passing game. Now, how do you keep an aggressive pass rush at bay? Everybody who's watched football knows the answer. You get an effective running game. You run the ball well. And anybody who's watched Pitt knows they don't run the ball very well. And they ended up with 92 rushing yards against NC State. And it really was a continuation of the trend under Mark Whipple. Really? I mean, Sean Watson, his final game, Sun Bowl, Pitt rushed for 208 yards. 17 games since then, Pitt has not rushed for 200 yards once. Closest they got was 196 against UCF, and that's the only time in the last 17 games they've had more than 176 rushing yards. 7 times under Mark Whipple, Pitt has been held under 100 rushing yards in a game. This was after they topped 200 like 7 times or 8 times in 2018. Pitt's running game fell off a cliff in the transition from Sean Watson to Mark Whipple. And not just the transition from Watson to Whipple, it's the transition from that offensive line to this offensive line. It's the transition from Quadri Olson and Darren Hall to A.J. Davis and Todd Sibley and then Vincent Davis. I mean, there are a lot of moving pieces, and I think you can actually, this is a situation where I think you can put the blame on pretty much anybody you want, and you'll be right. You want to blame Whipple? You want to blame offensive line coach Dave Borbély? You want to blame the running backs? You want to blame the offensive line? Have at it. I think all four of those parties are certainly to blame for this problem. But what's undeniable is that it's a major issue. I looked back at last year, 2019. In all of FBS, there were 49 teams in FBS that averaged less than 150 rushing yards per game. 150. Now that's, you know, that's pretty well above where Pitt is right now. Pitt this season is averaging 130.5 rushing yards per game. Last year they averaged 118.8 rushing yards per game. So I'm setting the bar even higher. But anyway, last year in FBS, 2019, there were 49 teams that averaged less than 150 rushing yards per game. Out of those 49, only 18 finished with a winning record. Out of those 18, you know, and Pitt was one of them, obviously, going 8-5 and averaging less than 120 yards per game. But out of those 18 teams that had a winning record despite rushing for averaging less than 150 rushing yards per game, out of those 18 teams, only four won at least nine games. Florida went 11-12. They averaged about 130 per game. Iowa went 10-3. They averaged 137. San Diego State went 10-3. They averaged 140.5. And Virginia went 9-5 and averaged 121 rushing yards per game. So it's not impossible to average less than 150 yards per game on the ground and have a successful season, but it's pretty darn hard. And we're seeing that with Pitt. And we saw it last year where they couldn't. I think it really hurt their effectiveness in the red zone that they weren't able to run the ball. And we see it again this year where it hurts their effectiveness in the red zone. They're not really able to run the ball because they're not able to run the ball. And it's just, they're so one-dimensional on offense. And that's what they wanted to get away with or get away from with the Deshaun Watson offense, where they were so one-dimensional, all they could do was run it. They wanted to get away from that one-dimensional offense. They got away from it. There's still a one-dimensional offense, just on the other side of the ledger. All right, when we come back, we'll wrap up the show, send you into the next hour here in with the Panthers Insider Show on 93.7 The Fan. The Panthers Insider Show, Chris Peek, getting ready to send you into the next hour. Ron Cook will be up next here on 93.7 The Fan. And then, of course, Pitt, Boston College at 4 o'clock this afternoon. You can hear that right here on The Fan. This is a big one for Pitt. I mean, they need to beat Boston College. Boston College has looked better than I expected them to, but I still think it's a winnable game for Pitt. It's a game Pitt should win. They have to watch out for the tight end. Boston College's tight end is their leading receiver, one of the most targeted players in all of college football, regardless of position. They like to get the ball to him, and certainly the tight end had success against Pitt last week with the NC State game. But, I mean, I still think this is a game. I don't know if Pitt's running game is going to get going, but I think Pitt's defense should bounce back from their performance against NC State. And I think Kenny Pickett should continue to play well, unless Boston College gets pressure on him. That's going to be where the real test is. So this offensive line has to get better at run blocking, but they've also got to protect Kenny Pickett. And that might actually be more important than the run. Still, one of the keys is going to be this defense bouncing back. They've got to get pressure on Phil Dracovich, the Pine Ridgeland kid. That's going to be key. They didn't do it against NC State very well. They got to do it against Boston College.